And Dave, I've got another PowerPoint over there, and it's labeled Colossians. I believe it's labeled Colossians 9 and 10. If you would fire that up for me. Should be on the desktop. Number 4, Dave. If you would turn in your Bibles to Colossians 8, and again, it's important to bring your Bibles. Amen. That way you can make notes. That way you can take it home and read it for yourself. We're going to put it on the screen for you, but it's important for you to bring it. Boy, I hope it's Colossians 2 is what I hope it is. Well, there's not an 8. You're right. It's Colossians 2:8. Man, that's I'm a little tired too. Colossians 2:8. 2:8. It's important for me to look at my Bible when I tell you what I'm going to be teaching on. Amen. Did you find it, Dave?
I got it up, bro. I just can't get it to come.
There's a little button in the right-hand corner with a little monitor on it. If you could hit that, that'll put it up there. Okay, do you know how to help him? Why don't you do that for me, bud? Let's remember why they're working on that, where we were at. Remember, our topic started on why our faith is in Jesus Christ. And we started out at Colossians 11, and then I got a little bit of help, and I said, you know what? It actually starts back at Colossians 8. Let's see, there we go. Starts back at Colossians 8. So let's read Colossians 8, 9, and 10 today, because that's where we're going to be at. And then we'll explain what's on the screen. So Colossians 2, verses 8 says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat on you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all the principalities and power." So last week we talked a little bit again about beware. We said that that was the command. We have to beware. And the subject was that any man, and what we believed to be true was going to spoil, and spoil who? You, right? So beware that any man spoil us. If you'll go to the next slide for me, Dave. We talked about the meaning of the word beware. We looked at the Greek, and we said that it was to be ready to learn about the future dangers or needs, or to beware, to watch out for, or to pay attention to. Again, it was a command. Beware. Something's going to happen, okay? Beware. There's going to be a storm. Beware. Go ahead to the next one, Dave. We looked at the word spoil, and this was one of those ones that was kind of a three-part word that we talked about. And it was one, the first one was to possess certain characteristics, and the one other next one was a reference to, so the, she, it, he, something like that. And then the last one was to take over completely, to control a person that would be in contact. In captivity, all right? So beware, someone's going to take over you. And we talked about the differences in the word of spoil, because our word of spoil today is different. If I say that someone's going to take over your refrigerator, that doesn't go, does it? Someone's going to spoil you or take your faith, that means something different. So go ahead, Dave, to the next one. And then we looked at the word philosophy, human understanding or wisdom, right? We said that that was the only time that was used in the New Testament. One more, Dave. All right, brings us up to today. So Colossians 2:9. Any questions from last week? Does all that ring a bell? Any comments? All right, Colossians 2:9. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." No commands here, because this is the second part of the thought we were talking about. Beware. Dwells, we believe that to be true. And all the fullness, we believe that to be the subject, all the fullness. So we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit tonight. And if we get a little bit further, we'll be doing good. What number slide are you on there, Dave? Can you tell me? Good, that's where you're supposed to be. And I'm working on a clicker. I was just telling a friend of mine this week that I had a clicker that I could click from up here, and then I threw it away because I thought I'll never use that thing. And here we are. All right, so Colossians 2:9. This is what Paul is telling us, speaking of the criticism, and remember of the Gnostics. They were coming in and they were trying to say, no, it's not this, no, it's not this, it's not Christ, it's all these other things. They were coming in and trying to give the church at Colossians different instruction than what their pastor was giving them. All right, we said that their pastor went to go see Paul through much trial and tribulation to go find him. But Paul is telling us here that any other doctrine that we're trying to look for should be measured by Christ. If it's not Christ, then it's something out of the heart of man. It's human. On the last slide, don't go back to it, Dave. Or it's our intellect. So he's telling us to beware of that. It's heresy. It's not in one accord with the revealed truth of Jesus Christ. Paul's warnings rest on the fact that Christ has an unshared supremacy. Okay, nothing else sits up there. And when we get into this verse, you'll see where that stands at. But that's what Paul is stating to us, that he has an unshared supremacy. His adequacy is complete. Everything in him is complete. He is all we need. He is all that the human needs to do everything that they have in life. Anything else that is not after Christ is wrong. And we talked about philosophy. We also picked a little bit on psychology. Again, psychology of man. Humanistic psychology. Me telling you to go out and run around that bush 3 times to get it done. Me having you come into my office and tell me all your problems and confess to me all your problems so I can write them down and go tell all your friends, and then you come back and give me some money. But we can pick on other things. Let's pick on motivational speaking. All right, it works great in the world, doesn't it? Anybody ever been to a conference where they get you all pumped up? We call in my profession, we call it drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, we'll go out to Microsoft, right? And they'll get you like, oh, our product's just the best. You need to have our product. It does all you need it to do. And I'm sure it's the same in your profession. And you leave and you say, well, you get back and you want to do all this stuff. And it's all their stuff. And, of course, you got to buy it. There's a price to it. And we call it drinking the Kool-Aid. So we can pick on several different things there. But the idea is things that we've come up with in our mind. Go ahead to the next slide, Dave. Slide number 6. Brings us to the word for. All right, for in him dwells. Well, what is for? It marks the cause or the reason based on the evident fact. Well, the fact is something dwells. So for in something dwells in you. All right, for is the linking scripture between the last verse and this verse. That's what gets us from beware down to what dwells in us. Okay, that's the linking scripture. Links us to verse 8. The warning there rests on what is said here about Christ and his fullness. So the warning that we see in the above verse rests on the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, that's what 4 is doing there. Go ahead to the next slide, Dave, please. Again, if you have a question, if we're moving too fast, I got a lot of content and I got a lot of slides, just raise your hand and ask a question. Okay, again, this is a complete open forum. If I don't see your hand, just yell at me. Try not to throw nothing at me. All right, got a lot of work in these eyes. Don't hit me in the eyes. I'm also trying to work on the slides. You guys that are not in IT or not used to this, some projectors do things differently. It's kind of like when you go into a TV store and you want to buy a TV. They all look different. Same thing with a projector. So the word in him or him, this can also be referenced by the phrase in Christ. It is the position in the sentence that really brings this out to us. Where is this at in the sentence? It's the thought that Christ alone is the fullness of the deity. So the word him is a reference to a definite person or persons spoken or written about. So for him in Christ. And when we get, hopefully if we get to the end of this tonight, we'll talk about being in Christ, because that's the important part that we're talking here about here. All right. Slide 8, Dave, if you would. The word lives is a full thought that Christ, the fullness of the deity and personality, resides in him. It's his settled home. He is both spirit. He is both physical. And we're going to tear that apart a little bit tonight and understand what that means. The primary reference is that Christ in his present glorified state is complete. There's no more. The Greek scholar Robinson says, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the once mortal, now glorified body of Christ, now the body of his glory. All right, so the fullness, it dwells. To live or to dwell in a place in an established or settled manner, all right? So to live, to be something, all right? Go to the next slide, Dave, if you would. Any questions? Any questions? Again, I'm moving kind of quick here. Fullness, it pertains to the fact that this is not just a divine quality. It's not just a divine something. We're going to tear into what divine and some differences here in the verse and where some different spots that Paul actually used the word Godhead, which means divinity, and talk about that a little bit. So a total quantity with an emphasis upon completeness. So in him, the fullness or the completeness, all right, of the Godhead bodily. Now this goes back to, and it points us back right back to John 1:1. The Word was God, and the latter portion of that verse, and the Word became flesh. It's always been complete. At one point, I see your hand, Dave. At one point, Jesus was not a person, a physical, manly person. He was the Word. When he came to earth, he became a person. It was complete. All right, Dave, you had a question.
Well, I just had a statement.
Sure. Right, God is complete. He's fullness. He is everything that we need. And again, you're exactly right, Dave. The teaching of the Gnostics was anything that they could add to it, that you had to get to a higher level, that you were maybe a little God, that you were in part with God, that you needed this or that. So you hit it right on the head, Dave, and we're going to continue to talk about it. So the phrase in him, and I want to spend a little time on this phrase in him. We're going to put this together. For in him dwelleth. It's a restatement of the doctrine of incarnation. In him, it refers to Christ, in whom dwelleth all the essential elements of the deity. And this word here that we're going to get to, the Godhead, this is very important in this verse also. So now we have, it's in us, it's the fullness, it's everything that we need, and we're going to get the Godhead here in a little bit. So this is the great central doctrine maintained by Christ, that he is the incarnation, he is the deity, he is everything that we need. He is the fullness of the Godhead, and it dwells where? It dwells in him. He is everything. He is complete. So every system which denies this doctrine, it totally goes against what Christ says. So this is why we have to be careful of what we're letting into our mind, right? And again, if you were here on Sunday, I preached about it. If you're out and you're following preachers, it's not bad. If you're following websites that are Christian, it's not bad. If you're watching, it's not. But where does it line up at? Where does it line up at? That's the big thing, and that's what he's going back here to tell us, that what is the doctrine? Where does it go? What is the central doctrine of Christ? Okay, and that's everything that Paul taught. If you read through his readings, everything that he taught pointed back to the deity of Christ, all right, his character, who he was, what he did, all right? Anything else is going to undermine that. All right, so the word dwelleth refers to the fact that the deity of Christ has always been, always remains, will be forever. It did not descend on him for a certain time. So while he was on earth, he didn't just have that deity while he was on earth. He didn't just have it while he was praying for people. He didn't just have it while he was on the cross. He was full. It was always with him. It always was in him, and he always was it. All right? Let's see. Wow, we're complete. And again, yeah, the Gnostics' view represented the fullness of the deity distributed among angels, among themselves, among a place, among something else. They always distributed that deity out. So we could kind of transfer it in today's world and say, well, it's Christ, but it's also this. It's Christ, but it's also that. And you can insert anything you want in there. No, it's just Christ. That's all it can be. That's what this is warning us against. All right, the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ. Okay, slide number 10, Dave. All the fullness of God, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This here, the word Godhead, presents a different word. All right, Theotes, the nature or state of any being God, a deity, a divine nature, a divine being. This was also the only time this particular version of this word, and remember in Greek we've got several different versions, we went through that last week, of what a particular word may be. This was the only time this particular word was used in the New Testament in this particular way. All the fullness of the Godhead does not mean traits of a deity only, but the very nature of God, the fullness of God. So Godhead goes right back to the fullness. He is everything that you need. It's all the traits of God right there in one spot. Again, the only time in the New Testament. Bodily signifies in our human flesh. Slide 12, Dave. I'm sorry. Let me add this. I forgot. No, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. Bodily. Did you move on or did you go back, Dave? Okay. Go back one more. All right, this is important, and I forgot about it. Romans 1:20, this is the other place that Godhead is used. And if you look at the Greek spelling there at the bottom, theotis, it's similar, but it's not the same. This was the nature or the state, the being of God. All right, so this is different. Paul here in Romans is telling us about the character of God, the character, who he is, what he's done. So he's specifically using a separate word here to tell us that, yes, he was all those things, but now it's very specific. He is God. He is the fullness. Go ahead, Dave. All right, and bodily, pertaining to a physical body, all right, again, and pertaining to being real in contrast with being symbolic. So it wasn't just a symbolic thing. The Gnostics believed that he was not a real person. He was just a vision that they might have saw. He was just something that you kind of, like maybe a ghost or something like that, or he was not a true physical flesh and blood entity. They were spreading that rumor too. So again, Paul is telling us that no, he was real. His bodily was real. It pertains to a real physical thing. All right. He emphasized that the deity was distributed, and the Gnostics emphasized that the deity was distributed into many different beings, that it was distributed into their self. So they were many gods. All right. Now we hear that today. We even hear that come out of some Christian pulpits today, that you're a mini-God and you can confess whatever you want to and you can say it's going to be, okay? Not at all. That's not what Paul was telling us here. He was telling us that Christ in him, the fullness, he is God. He is the deity. He is the divine. He is all those things. The true knowledge of Christ is that there is no fuller, no more comprehensive revelation of God than him. He is God. He is everything we need. Christ is not a member or an order or a supernatural being, he's not something that just appears, but he is a real person, a physical body. All right, again, the Gnostics were trying to not teach that. Any questions on that? Am I saying I don't feel like in my mind I'm saying it well enough. Slide 13, Dave. Again, here's the different ones, Colossians 2 and 9 and Romans 1:20, again, pertaining to a being, a real person, and not in contrast with being symbolic. And then in Romans 1:20, again, the nature or the state of being God. So again, two separate words, same word in English, two separate words in Greek. So Paul uses the word separately in two different spots to point out two separate things. The idea in Romans is that his divinity, namely the fact that he is a being having divine attributes and clearly seen by man through the created universe. Man should be able to look at the creation and tell that beyond that. Everything in creation that we see lines up with the Word of God. And we touched just a little bit on science last week. See, man cannot break a scientific law. All right, you cannot break the law of gravity. We can operate within that law because we understand it, but we cannot break that law. So there's scientific laws that we cannot break. However, there's moral laws that we can break. Right? That's the nature of sin, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So man had to reason upon this, saying, "Hey, if it's this, it must be that." All right, going ahead and making a correlation between the two, between the laws. All right, slide 13, Dave. Or stay on slide 13. There you go. Thank you. Again, slightly different. We talked about that already. I'm getting ahead of my own self. Go ahead to slide 14, Dave, if you would. Moving on to verse 10, he says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the Godhead of all principality and powers." Again, this continues the thought. The word "and" here, different verses. Remember when the Bible was written, they didn't write it in verses. They were writing it in thought. This just connects the two thoughts. "For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are," being the subject, "complete in him who," you are being true, being complete in him who, and again, is. So you are, he's saying you are, that is true. You are complete in him who, being Christ, is the Godhead of all principalities and power. So let's tear into that a little bit. Again, Paul's crowning argument: Christ is fully God at the same time fully man. Christ is fully God and at the same time fully man. And that's a huge statement. Huge statement. All right? The virgin birth had to happen. It had to happen. Because if Christ was born of regular means, what would have happened there? He would have been a sinner, just like us. He would have had the original sin built into him. He could have died, went on the cross, did everything he did, and it would have been no different than you or I going. The sacrifice would have been no different. All right, so the virgin birth here is very, very important because original sin did not live in him. So this is very important that we understand that our completeness is due to him being a divine deity, not having original sin, being of God. He is God, okay? All right, the last part there, the principality and powers, we're going to tear into that a little bit. But I want to spend, again, a little bit more time on the word "in him." Go on to the next slide, Dave, if you would. Go on to the next one, please. I should have an "in him" complete. Let's talk about that a little bit. To make something total or complete, we know what that's the same word. Go ahead, Dave. All right, "in him," a position. All right, so our position in him, our position. That's our position in Christ, where we're at with him. And again, a reference to a definite being, a definite person. So we are in Christ. So Christ is our substitute. He is our representative man, our substitute and our representative man. We got to understand this because this is very important. The debt owed to God by fallen man was what? Sin. It was our debt. It was our sin debt. So God represented that sin debt, our transgressions against God. Again, God created the whole universe. He set laws into effect, scientific and moral laws. We can't change the scientific laws, but we can break the moral laws, and that's what we did. And we talked a little bit last week about going into our court systems, and especially us as being Americans. Our court system is built on this right here. Well, it used to be built on the Bible, all right? That's where our moral laws came from. That's why when we hear about them being taken away, it really rubs the wrong way against the Christian. So our moral laws as man can be broken. And if we look out there and we look in all the jails and we watch the news at night and we see all these things happen, the moral laws get broken every day. And we think, wow, man, people, they're just messed up. But you know what? Who was the first man to break a moral law? Adam. Did Adam have the sin nature? Not at all. So Adam, not having his sin nature, being in a perfect environment, broke a moral law. All right, so God had to enact a plan at that point. And that plan was sending his son Jesus Christ, God, all in the fullness, in him, to earth to pay for that price for us. All right? So God came up with a law for us. He took man's place. And this is a very important piece of this that we need to understand, because this is how mankind got redeemed, is redeemed, continues to be redeemed. Okay? Man cannot redeem himself. And this is the important part of the church that we have to understand, and that we have to help those coming in understand, that you cannot redeem yourself. Because what do we teach today? It's fine. Linda, it's fine. It's okay. We understand, and you can change. Right? Turn on any talk show today and they're going to tell you the same thing. You can change. It's going to be fine. It's just the way you grew up. Your mom was bad to you. Your dad was this, that, and the other. All right? We try to make excuses. The Bible doesn't make excuses for us. It tells us clearly and plainly, you are a sinner. All right? God's plan was to come in and change that for us, to pay the price, to stand in the gap, to be the man in the gap, to take our place, okay? His righteousness allows for all that. Again, some people are out there teaching that God went to hell and he became a sinner, or Jesus sinned while he was on this earth. There's no way the plan could have worked if he was a sinner, because if that was the case, we would have went too. We could have done what he did. There'd been no need for it. There'd been no need for the whole thing to happen, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 21:20. That all, nothing, because we could have done it. All right. Christ is telling us, no, it's in me. It's in him. So these two words here, in him, are extremely important to us, that we understand what being in him actually means. All right. The plan. The plan was that Jesus Christ would be our substitute. He would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Again, we cannot change ourselves. He would represent us with his death on the cross. Again, not becoming a sinner, but representing the sin that we had. He would die. He would go to hell. And he wouldn't go to hell as a prisoner. All right, he would not go to hell and be chained. He would go to hell victorious. He would come out of the grave victorious. Because again, if that happened, this whole book would be a lie. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say that, so do not let anyone tell you that that happened. If he came out in defeat, that would mean we were in defeat. And again, it makes it all of none effect. All right. So the plan was for him to come to represent us on the cross, to represent our transgressions, to represent our sin. Again, we cannot do it. This man dying, any of you dying, is not going to pay the price. Man, it's easy for man to die. We see it again. We see it every day. All right, virgin birth, we talked about that already. All this had to be decreed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again, is the office work, the administrator of what happens, all right? I believe that he administered everything. When Christ was on the cross, the Holy Spirit was there doing everything, administering what was going on, telling him when he could die. Don't you think he could have got off that cross when he wanted to? He was all God. We just talked about it. He's the fullness of God. No, the Holy Spirit working in him, telling him exactly what's going to happen, exactly what's going to do, administering. And the same thing for us. All right? When we come into Christ and we are in him, again, everything we need is in him. Everything that we're going to get in this life. Well, you say, well, okay, Brother Chris, I get that, but man, you know, when the bills come in, it's hard. It's difficult. Everything we need is in him. Everything we need is in him. That's where the faith factor kicks in. Everything we need is in him. It's in him. We as Christians have to remember this. Now, yes, you have to get out and you have to go to work every day. Kids, you have to get up and you have to go to school every day. All right, that's a part of life. We have to operate in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. We have to operate in that system. But when we're a believer, our faith has got to be solely placed where? In him. In him. Everything we need is in him, and he's going to provide the rest of it. He's going to provide everything that we need. We are in him. All right, so Jesus, being our substitute, taking the punishment of the broken law on our behalf. So number one, our substitute. Number two, our representative man. Him doing for us what we cannot do. Him doing for us what Adam should have done. There's no reason Adam had to sin, is there? We just said Adam didn't have a sin nature, right? There's no reason he had to. He chose to. So Jesus, coming in being the second Adam, he didn't sin, not one bit. He had to come back in and complete that work. Again, the covenant between God and man, all God, perfect in both areas, perfect. Again, being that representative man, taking our penalty, all right? All right, we're getting to about 5 minutes here. Is there any questions? I don't want to go any further until we have some more time to get into the rest of it. So in him being very, very important. Any questions tonight? You've been a great class. All right. Well, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll let you go and get home to what you have to do. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we are in you. Lord Jesus, that when you died, you were thinking of us on your cross, Lord. That when you died, you were representing me, Lord, on that cross. You were representing my sin, Lord Jesus. You were being my substitute, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that everything that I need is in you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, just work that in us this week. Everything that we need is in you, Lord God. Anything in this world that we have need of, Lord, is in you, Lord. And you can take care of it, Lord, if our faith is in the proper position, and that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would be with the people tonight. Lord, that you would bless them, Lord God, that this word would continue to permeate within them, Lord. Lord, all the unspoken requests, again, I ask that you would touch and move in those situations, that you would work, Lord God, that you would bless, that you would open doors, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for who you are, for what you've done, Lord God. Bring us back on Sunday, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, just help us every day, Lord Jesus, because we need you, Lord, on a daily basis. In your name we pray, Lord God. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.